Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sports. Where who have we got?
Me.
You. We've got you. I was going to say we've got some great sponsors with Youth Energy here. We've got My Sportswear. We've got FNX Network. We've got loads of sponsors, and I keep forgetting them. I should really have a script, shouldn't I? I'm your host, Stel. Yanakis is back here. Great to have you back on the show,
Thank you, man. Good to be back. Excited.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Great stuff. And joining us all the way from Manchester is Rodri King. Say anything, buddy.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. All good.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Great to have you back on. And our fourth guest, well, I'm calling myself a guest these days. Our next guest is a gentleman that needs no introduction, a former Everton and Chelsea and Scotland midfielder, Pat Nevin. Great to have you on, Pat.
Great to be here, Stel. Absolutely fantastic. I've had a very, very busy couple of days, but I'll fill you in with that in a few moments. I have met another geek. His name wasn't Rod.
Okay. Fair enough. Good stuff. Wonderful. Right, gents, charity shield time. It's that time of year, the curtain raiser, as they call it. And Arsenal started the season as they ended the last by beating Chelsea at Wembley. Only this time, it was decided on penalties. Now, Victor Moses was sent off in the FA Cup final, as we all know. He gave Chelsea the lead before another Blues player saw red. Pedro received his marching orders following a dangerous challenge on Mohamed Elneny, and new signing Sead Kolasinac headed in for the resulting free kick. They call him the tank. He's a big guy. Arsenal converted all of their kicks while Courtois put his in row Z, and £60 million signing Alvaro Morata dragged his wide. Now, Pat, Arsenal were sharp while Chelsea looked laboured for the majority of the game, mate. Granted, Hazard and Bakayoko missed that through injury, and the Diego Costa saga rages on. What did you make of Chelsea's performance, and do they need reinforcements?
Well, the performance was kind of okay, but you're absolutely right to mention that Chelsea's system last season, their team last season, there were three players missing. Hazard, very important. Costa, very important. And of course, Matic, who has gone as well. So that did look like a lesser team that was out there. But they did okay, and they come back into the game a little bit. However, you're right. The reinforcements, they are absolutely necessary. They've got to get at least three and probably two big names. Now, they'll tell you the reasons for that. You look at the centre-back position. Nathan Ake's gone. John Terry's gone. Kurt Zouma's gone. And they've only brought one in, Rudiger. They've got big gaps there at the back. They need to fill if they're going to do well in the league and in the Champions League. They also need a little bit more cover in centre midfield. And as everybody knows, the Diego Costa situation's got to be sorted out if Chelsea are going to do anything. Having said that, Morata, I know he missed a penalty, and he laboured a little bit, but his movement was what I was looking at. And the people I was sitting next to, and I will tell you the four names very quickly, I was looking at, thinking about Costa. So who did I ask? The man in front of me. It was actually a man who scored a hat-trick for England in the World Cup final. So that's not bad, is it? I actually looked to my right-hand side to see who I could chat to about Hazard. And it was Ryan Giggs who was sitting next to me. And then my left-hand side sitting next to me, I wanted to ask about a man, the curly-haired magician, the centre-back, David Luiz. Mm-hmm. And I had Martin Keown sitting on the other side of me. And I'm thinking, everywhere, suddenly here I've got a world-class international guy who knows about these players. Mm-hmm. The final person who was sitting right behind me, I was going to ask him about goalkeeping. After Courtois put that ball over the bar, I decided Pat Jennings is not the right person to ask about that. It was amazing the people I had sitting around me, but they all probably said the same thing. Chelsea are short. They're a good team, but they're still short.
Absolutely. And Jamie Carragher said he'd be very surprised if Conte was still managing in 12 months' time. Do you share the same opinion?
I wouldn't be shocked. Surely because look at the history. Chelsea changed managers. And they changed them incredibly quickly. And there's usually a multitude of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the manager's missed, it might be the ownership wants more. A million things can happen at Chelsea. These things used to upset me. I adore what Antonio Conte's done. I really like him as a guy as well. And I hope he stays on for 5 years. But you know what? They keep on changing managers, and they keep on being successful generally. So I think that's the reason why he signed a new contract, but it wasn't an extension. People think that was coming from Conte's position. Oddly enough, it probably wasn't. It was probably Chelsea. They're a bit fed up of paying 40 and 50 million pounds to get rid of their management team every year or two. So it's an odd situation, but Chelsea's an unusual club. The thing is, it's a weird way to do it, but it's still pretty successful.
That's right. And we mentioned Morata earlier, or you mentioned him. He was, as expected, ripped to pieces on social media for his performance. Personally, I don't believe he was given enough time to make his mark on the game. Is he the right man to replace Diego Costa?
Too early to say, yeah. Look at Chelsea's history. They've brought in some amazing players like Shevchenko. Didn't really happen. Fernando Torres. Didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. Diego Costa, phenomenal player for Chelsea. Always a little bit of trouble, but you understand, you get that with Diego Costa. Morata's numbers were brilliant last season. Absolutely fantastic. And I suspect he will be okay. His movement for me at Wembley was a slightly sluggish. Definitely the right type of movement for a centre forward. The players that he's got providing for him, he'll be okay.
Absolutely. And Rodri, like it or not, Arsenal fans have lumbered with Wenger for two more years, and the professor has, rewarded their faith and loyalty by signing Lacazette and Kolasinac. He's strengthened two areas that need improving, but I think their problems run a lot deeper, mate. I mean, there still seems to be a lack of leadership and backbone. What do you think?
Yeah, they've strengthened. They look like two top-class players, but they're not strengthening the right areas. Like you say, the backbone is they need a centre-half. They need a strong centre midfielder. We've seen it time and time again with Arsenal. They do well up until Christmas, then they fall to pieces in January. It's the same old soft touch. We don't know the situation with Sanchez. Will he stay? If he goes, then that's a massive problem. So, no, I just think it's going to be Groundhog Day with Arsenal. But you know, they're rewarded with a 2-year contract, so it's their own fault, really.
Pat, I've spoken to a few Arsenal fans who have their own YouTube shows, and they're extremely excited with the prospect of Lacazette linking up with Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, and I don't blame them for it. But what do you expect from the French international this season?
No, I like what I've seen of them, and certainly again the goal score was fine. I don't think you'll be new Thierry Henry. It's an easy thing to say that, but Thierry Henry was spectacularly special. But I think he'll do very well. But I think the question remains, Sanchez and Ozil, will both of them be playing A at their best or B at all? Will Sanchez actually stay when push comes to shove as the transfer window gets very close to closing? It's a lot of money to throw away to keep Sanchez if he leaves at the end of next season. And as many people have said, back 1st of January next year, he could actually sign somebody else and have to play at the end of the season for Arsenal while being, say, a Man City player or a Chelsea player or whatever. So that would have been an extraordinary situation. So that's a massive chance for Arsenal to take. I agree completely with Rod. Arsenal, to me, are okay. They're strong-ish. But I don't think they're going to be in the top four. And the reason is there isn't enough depth. And it's that strength you're talking about. There are some weaknesses there. And if you lose one or two players, such as when you've not got Koscielny playing, then they suddenly look a completely different team. They're a good side, but are they a top three, top four side? I think there's a massive question over that still.
Good point. Now, mate, as you know, I'm an admirer of Granit Xhaka. I think he's a fantastic footballer, isn't it? You know, Wenger's always been an admirer of Michael Carrick, and Xhaka's a very similar kind of player in terms of his range of passing. You know, he's one of the best ball-playing midfielders in the league, in my opinion, and I think this season we'll see the best of him. He received the Man of the Match award the other day, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Do you rate him?
I think he's a good player. He's got good range of passing, short and long. He's got a good shot in him, a very good left foot. It's got a nasty streak on him that you do need in the Premiership. Absolutely. As well. Maybe goes a little bit over the top, man. His disciplinary record over the years, well, at Mönchengladbach and now at Arsenal.
10 red cards in about three seasons.
Yeah, that's right. But it's good because it intimidates other midfield players that play against him because he knows he's going to put his foot about, you know. And the latter stages of last season, he started to show his true colours. He started to play well. And he started, you know, I know it was only the charity show the other day, but he started really well. So it's good times for Arsenal.
Absolutely. And judging by the fees paid by clubs this summer, Xhaka's £30 million price tag looks like peanuts. I mean, this summer, the Premier League clubs have spent almost £1 billion on transfers. And we will talk about transfers right now. And Pat, your old club, Everton, have, in my opinion, invested wisely in key areas. What's your take on Koeman's activity?
Yeah, but there's good and bad in it. I think he's got the central area. I'm really impressed with him. He's got the centre-back in, which he needed to get. Well done, Michael Keane. That'll work. No problem there. Jordan Pickford, another, I think he'll do well. But there is an area where I keep on looking at, that number 10 area. Now, Klaassen can come in and do that. You know, €27 million, I think it was, from Ajax. But a very good player. But they've also got Wayne Rooney, who's got to find somewhere to play. And that's a real question. I don't know if you can fit both of them in. And remember, they're still trying to get Gylfi Sigurdsson, who plays in exactly the same area as well. So, yeah, I like some of the buys. And some of the ones that I don't know as much about, remember, I think he's got 9 or 10 players bought in. That's quite a lot to bring in. They're not all going to be successful. But some of the ones that you least expect, like Matis, who's come in, and Sandro Ramirez, he might do very well. He's one I suspect will do quite well. Yeah. But there's a lot of players there. He had to adapt that squad. It had to be fresh. He had to make it look a little bit less dependent on Romelu or Lukaku, which is what they were. I think they're going to be stronger this season. Whether they'll be strong enough to go and push into the top four, I would question. Top six? Well, they've got a chance. I like what he's done. I think it was a nicely balanced squad now.
Do you think the Europa League might be a bit of a deterrent, though? Because we know that teams playing Thursday, Sunday, for some reason, it seems to be a big issue, but we've seen it in the past affecting loads of teams. Do you think this could be a problem for them?
I don't want to, oddly enough, this time, no. And I would normally say yes to that question. But this time, no, purely because of what I've explained there. They've brought about 10 players in, and they're trying to bring some more. They've got strength, they've got depth, so they can actually adapt it. And they might not, and in fact, I do not suspect they will play their strongest team in all the Europa League games. So I'm not sure that it's going to... Remember, it did affect Everton. They once got into the Champions League qualifiers, remember, under David Moyes. And it didn't work. They made a mess of it. They didn't have enough strength and depth. And that made a huge, huge difference to what they could do going forward. This team is different. There's enough there. There's plenty of good players there. Desperate, you can see how Wayne Rooney does. I'll be honest with you, I'm not convinced yet. It's a great move. I'm not convinced the legs are there. However, if you have anybody, a lot of us did, watched Wayne Rooney's face when he was doing the press conference when he went from Manchester United to Everton again. He looked 12 years old. He was so happy. You never know, he might get a new lease of life. That would be great stuff.
Great stuff. And mate, Everton's rivals Liverpool, they snapped up Mohamed Salah, Andrew Robertson and Dominic Solanke.
Yeah.
It looks like Van Dijk is on his way to Anfield. He allegedly handed a transfer request to Southampton today, which I'm not 100% sure about, but that's what we've heard on the grapevine, so to speak. How much of a difference can he make, and will signing him be completely pointless if they lose Coutinho?
That's a difficult one. They do need a centre-half, though, Liverpool, so signing Van Dijk will be a plus on that side. It depends if they sell Coutinho, who Liverpool replace him with. Especially with the crazy market at the moment, is, you know, how much are they going to get for Coutinho? 80, 90 million, maybe, something like that. So if they buy Van Dijk for like 50, 60 million, which you probably think it would be, it's kind of only 30 million left out of the Coutinho money to go and bring somebody in of Coutinho's class to replace him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to upset the Liverpool fans here, but I think if they lose Coutinho, I think Liverpool will struggle this season. I really do, in a sense of...
Creatively,
yeah. I really do. I mean, Salah's a really good signing. I rate Salah. I think it'll be good. And the way Liverpool played with Mane and the attacking quality players and the quick counter-attack they'll play will suit them. But to lose that creativity... Coutinho can just score a goal just like that. He'll beat a man, bend it top corner. I don't know if they've
Some people
plays.
Argue that they're pot shots. I mean, I know it's a bit
you
unfair.
You don't shoot, you
don't
score.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and we've seen it over the years. He keeps doing it regularly.
Is Lallana good enough to... To be replaced
for me, he's too injury prone. I think he's going to miss the start of the season. He's out for 4 months, apparently. So,
okay.
He's a good player, but he's not a continuous class for me. So, it'll be a massive loss if Liverpool lose Coutinho.
Okay, fair enough. Rodri, we've already discussed the Lukaku and Lindelof signings on the United show we did with Paul Parker and Martin Warwick. Nemanja Matic has come in. He was snapped up last week for £35 million. Do you think there are more signings to come?
Possibly, but... You know, they've got a fantastic squad. We've seen that last year. They did it okay last year. They got two trophies. Not the trophies that you would like at Old Trafford, but nevertheless, it was two trophies. But, you know, if we look at the home games that they drew last year and they turned them into wins, then they're not going to be far off, you know. So there may be some more signings, but I shouldn't imagine so now unless someone else goes. But I don't see that happening, to be honest. It's getting too close to season, but, you know, you never know. If someone with some quality pops up, I'm sure we'll be in for him.
So you think they're title contenders? Rod?
I'm surprised if the Tigers didn't end up in Manchester, if it's either the blue half or the red half.
Fair enough. Speaking of the blue half, Pat, Guardiola, he signed three full-backs, two attacking midfielders and a goalkeeper. Total outlay of £216 million. Will he get it right this season domestically in Europe, or are they still a couple players short?
I think we are precisely one player short. Just the one. Everywhere else, they'll be fine. They've got enough creativity. They've scored enough goals. They've got enough full-backs. I was going to say defenders, but their full-backs aren't defenders, are they? They're attacking full-backs, all of them. But that's just the way Guardiola gets his teams up. No, they're one player short. They need cover for Vincent Kompany. That's it. Full stop. If Vincent Kompany stays fit for the entire season, includes every game in the league and the Champions League, I think they will win the league at a canter. But we all know that's very unlikely to happen. So Guardiola has to bring in some cover in that area of real good quality. And it's amazing you've spent, you know, so many millions of pounds, I mean hundreds of millions of pounds on fullbacks, and you still only get one absolute certain centre back that you're confident in, and another one who's injured some of the time. So, you know, the one clear shot for me, and if they can get another centre back in, which I suspect they will do, I think they're 100%, they are favourites. They've got so many options going forward, so many attacking players. They are spectacular just now, and I think they're a good distance ahead of everyone else, certainly in the planning. They did their business early, and it's been really, really good business.
Pat, what if Aguero gets injured? I know Jesus can do a job, but we saw last season how he picked up quite a serious injury, yeah, to be fair. Is it a case of keeping Aguero fit as well?
Yeah, that's part of it, but I do think there's other players that can go and play. Mm-hmm. We always get a little bit uptight in certainly French football about a big centre forward or a main centre forward. There are teams playing around the world that are not playing without their centre forward, they're playing with fake number nine. And there's enough brilliant players in that Manchester City team to do that. I think Jesus could do it, no problem whatsoever. I think he's got the real quality there. The first time I did see him play was down at West Ham. I was at West Ham. Manchester City played down there, and he was astonishing. The pace they had throughout that team that night was just ridiculous. In fact, it was bordering on cheating. It was so fast. So I think he's capable of doing it. So like most teams, you don't want both of those players to be injured at the same time. But one of them being available and fit, with the creativity behind them, I have no worries whatsoever for Guardiola's team. And also, they're going to be a joy to watch. They're going to be such great. But I mean, I've watched any team that's got David Silva in it anyway. But all the other players that they've got there, they can create. I think they're looking very, very close to something special there.
I think he's going to change his formation this season as well.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go three at the back.
Okay.
With the
yeah, I think it's a good point. Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think you could possibly get away with that. A right centre back and a left centre back. Yeah. And of course, we know they don't have to be out there in full back. You look to what Chelsea did with Aspilicueta and put him as a third centre back, and it worked.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think he wants to get more people forward than that part. Well said, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with Fernando going to Galatasaray, wasn't it?
Yes.
He's gone. So I think we'll see more of Stones as a more ball playing central defender to bring the ball out, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So Stoke, Swansea, Leicester, in fact, everyone else apart from Spurs have strengthened their squad this summer. Gents, should Spurs fans be concerned with the lack of activity in the market, or is their squad good enough? Rodri, what do you think?
No, not necessarily. I think they've got they're probably one of the only ones in the top six that have got a squad that have been together, who know each other. They're not signs in, really. Trippier will replace Walker, who's arguably a better player. possibly not as good a defender, but his distribution, his crossing is excellent. So they've obviously got Kane with Allen. No, they obviously need to do a couple more signings. Obviously need to strengthen, but no, I think they'll be definitely in the top four. Tottenham, they'll be mighty for the top four anyway. Don't know whether they'll win it, but you know, if they sign a couple of top players, then you never know, they might be up there.
Time's ticking though, isn't it?
I disagree.
Yeah?
Can I?
Go on.
I think they'll struggle if they don't sign.
But you said this back in the last season, didn't you? Mm. You reckon they'll struggle this season. That's not just for the signings.
It's the fact that they're moving to a new stadium, which the fans are not comfortable with, and the players have to get used to it as well. I think by signing a few players would lift the fans.
Mm.
If they don't sign anyone and go there and say that, you know, a bit like West Ham, where the results didn't start well with a new stadium, it cannot be a good season for them.
They don't really leak goals. I mean, you got someone like Harry Kane, though. He's the best striker in the league. So,
well, I agree, but it's Wembley. A lot of teams are going to be, you know, looking forward to going to Wembley to play in Tottenham. It's different. It's not White Hart Lane. Mm. White Hart Lane was a, you know, proper tight, you know, old school fashion football stadium. Yeah, the fans are fanatic players, at Tottenham. It's going to be different.
It's something they have to overcome, because everyone that's gone to Wembley, they've struggled there, haven't they? So
exactly. So it's a psychological thing before he's even started. And the fact that they've not brought anyone in, and Walker's gone as well. Yeah, Trippier's a good player, but I don't think is Walker's kind of quality. So I think they do need to strengthen before the season starts.
Yeah.
One other big problem with Wembley, their system and their style, you mentioned it in passing there about how tight, you know, White Hart Lane was, and they were able to close teams down and play that, you know, high press game. Can't do that at Wembley. Yeah. Won't work. When they try and do that, you'll get exhausted, you'll get picked off. They've tried to get the pitch moved in and made the same size as the old leg Hart Lane. Apparently that's been turned down. That's going to be a massive problem for Spurs if they try and do exactly the same. They need more players than 100%. The only thing, here's the odd thing, I don't blame Daniel Levy for not spending his money just now. What can he do? If he goes and spends $100 million now, will he catch up with Man City, Manchester United, Chelsea? They'll just keep on spending. They've got more money. So in actual fact, I don't think he would get great value out of it. So Spurs fans won't want to hear it. Daniel Levy won't see it. But they're probably just perfectly happy where they are, sneaking into the top four, as they possibly can.
Yeah.
The thing is, with Spurs, if you look at their spending and the pattern, when they spend low, for example, like your Dele Alli's and whatnot, they seem to unearth gems. Mm. When they spend big, your Sissoko's, your Lamella's, your Janssen's, they get it so wrong. I think Sissoko's being offered to travel, on loan?
That's
but
right.
Spurs want a permanent deal, which I can understand.
You spent 30 million.
What I'm hearing from people at Spurs, or that I know, is that Spurs are paying championship wages to Champions League players. And I think that could be a detriment to the side, because when you hear about certain players going on international duty and they obviously talk to one another and they find out how much they're earning, I think there are a few Spurs players that are really unhappy with the state of affairs internally, in terms of, as I said, wages and signing on fees and whatnot. Do you think that could be a factor, Pat?
It absolutely is always a factor when players are looking around. Maybe for a season, maybe two seasons, they'll put up with it because they love the club and, you know, they're in something special and it feels great and you like your manager and all that sort of stuff. And then eventually it kind of dawns on you, wait a minute, how come there's lesser players get paid fortunes more than me? And it eventually comes home to roost. If it means either Ali or Kane eventually leaving, make sure you use the money well. The bail money wasn't spent brilliantly well. Some of it was spent okay, but it wasn't spent particularly well. That's a business thing. And Levy's a brilliant businessman. I think he's done fantastically well with his own business acumen. And Spurs fans will complain because they wouldn't win titles, but if you compare them to the money that is available to the other clubs, they have no right to. I have to say, if Spurs get in the top four, that is almost worth as much applause as Manchester City or Manchester United winning the league. That's how much I'm impressed with the fact that they spend well, they spend sensibly, And I think between now and the end of the transfer window, they will bring in some cover. It would be mad names, but you're right. If they spend 10s and 20s here and there, that's probably what will do the job for them. By the way, can I go back to one player we talked about just a few moments ago? Andrew Robertson at Liverpool, best signing of the season so far. Liverpool have been trying to get a left back for God knows how long. They've finally sorted it out. Well done, then. And that's the sort of player that's going to get in. Guys at that level that can do a job.
The thing is, though, with Tottenham, going back to them, the stadium's going to is a big factor as well. Someone's got to pay the stadium. So he's not going to go and splash out £100, £150 million on new signings when he's got a stadium to pay as well.
Yeah, but do you really think that's... I don't think it's like windows with Arsenal where they were struggling and scrimping and saving. I think Spurs have got enough financial backing, financial investment to do that. They're regenerating the whole area. They've got the whole deal with the NFL as well. So I think... The stadium kind of pays for itself. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to put their hands in their own pockets, but I don't think they're going to have to sell players to finance a stadium.
I think they're in a healthy position. I don't know about spending 100, 150 million because we've seen with the crazy market, someone wants to go to Tottenham now and leave him. Everyone knows he's a shrewd businessman as it is. They're going to want to get money out of him as well. So if he wants to go and buy a decent player, you're talking 40, 50, 60 million.
Yeah, but on the flip side, he's seen how well Spurs have done with Pochettino. If Pochettino says, I need you to back me and give me 50, 60 million pounds to spend on the player, you don't think he'll do it?
Possibly, maybe one.
Well,
You know, I think they need more than
It's all hypothetical. We've got another, 24 days or something like that before the window closes. Well, speaking of the window, I mean, which club do you guys believe has done the best bit of business this summer? My choice is West Ham purely because, unlike last summer, they spent wisely on players with Premier League experience. Three of the four have title medals. What do you reckon?
I agree.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow. Is that pig flying? Yeah. We agree on something?
We never agree on anything, do we, to be fair? Wow. But,
and yet we're still friends. I don't know how that...
We're professional. But, I think my son as well. I've got along with that. Joe Hart, proven goalkeeper in the Premiership. Zabaleta's a good signing. Arnautovic and Chicharito as well. So Chicharito's a proven goal scorer in the Premiership. And we've got them on Sunday, so should be interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Roger, who do you reckon is winning the transfer window so far? Rod?
Bigger, mate. Sorry, you went off then.
Yeah, who's winning the transfer window so far?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Like you say, West Ham. I think there's a few clubs, just one signing off being... like City, Everton, United. This time, one more top player. They've done the best business for West Ham for their value, the money. Yeah, definitely the best business so far. Just see how they do. Hopefully, they'll do better than they did last year.
Absolutely.
I like West Ham. I like Bilic. He's all right. Seems a good manager.
As they say. Pat, what do you reckon? Do you agree with all three of us?
I have to think of, if I was supporting a team, who would I be happiest at the moment? And it would be Manchester City. I know they're spending more, and I know the fact that it's hard to compare somebody who spent five times as much as anyone else, you know. But I'm looking at that team, and they're one player away from winning the league, and one player away from being serious contender to get to the last eight, maybe the last four of the Champions League. So it's got to be Man City for me.
Great stuff. So let's talk about Neymar's move to PSG from Barcelona. It shocked the football world, although many, myself included, weren't surprised with the way the Parisians conducted their business. The fee and obviously Neymar's farewell video, which quite cringe words. What are your opinions on the transfer, Pat? What do you reckon? What do you make of it?
I wasn't over surprised. It's been happening for too long. You know, were we surprised when it was Bale and Ronaldo and all those different ones? You know, it just happens. That's the way football goes. If there's money in it starts getting thrown about. What would be surprising is somehow Paris Saint-Germain managed to get financial fair play back into work. I don't know how that works. But I would make one point, and this is quite astonishing. I try not to name drop, okay? I was in Rio de Janeiro for the World Cup, watching Brazil, and I walked along, and I travelled all around the country for it. At that time, my daughter was a fanatic of David Luiz and wanted a number 4 jersey with a Brazil's number 4 with David Luiz in the back. You can't buy that in Brazil. You can't buy any numbers in Brazil except number 10, right. Except Neymar. So that's hundreds of millions of people all wearing the same strips, all wearing the same name, and that's the only one you can buy. Now, if you go around the world and you look at what he can actually get and bring in financially, it's absolutely extraordinary. Yes, it's 200 million. Yes, it's mad money. You won't believe the money that PSG are going to get back in. If he's not got all his image rights sorted out for himself, they will actually get a whole bunch of that money back. Yeah. They won't get it all back, but it's not as mad a business deal as people think it is.
Not at all.
A Neymar shirt was sold for 136 euros each.
Yeah, some of that. I think Paris Saint-Germain will get a percentage of a shirt sale, obviously. But I think everything in terms of a commercial standpoint, you know, Paris Saint-Germain will rake it in. I mean, if you look at the TV rights, these TV companies, in fact, I think that's probably, the Neymar transfer is probably adding another 30, 40 million pounds to the next TV deal with the French league or Ligue 1. Sorry. That's how big of a name he is. As Pat said, you know, in Brazil, everyone loves him out there. He came from Santos. That's the club that Pele obviously made his name at. And from a commercial standpoint, same with Pogba, same with Mbappe when he eventually goes, it makes financial sense. When people laugh about these transfer fees, I don't, because you know that in a year's time or 24 months' time, when they release the financial figures and you look on these clubs' websites and say, new commercial partner, you know, the official mobile telecommunications company of Azerbaijan are linked with Paris Saint-Germain, it happens. We laugh, but it happens. And that's how they make their money. That's how they afford to pay their wages. I think it's a perfect deal for Paris Saint-Germain. Rod, what do you reckon?
Yeah, like Pat says, it's they're going to recoup most of that money back, like United did with Pogba last year. They recoup the money back very quickly. And Neymar is a much bigger star around the world than Pogba. So they'll recoup most of that money. And, you know, these owners, we're talking about multi-billionaires. They want to be competing in the top competition. So, you know, they'll pay the big money. It's ridiculous, but you know it's the going rate, and it's what people are going for these days. Well, not these days, but it doesn't surprise you anyway.
It comes as a standard. It's a prerequisite, isn't it? Yeah. Well, before we discuss our predictions for top four and bottom three, let's quickly talk about the Manchester United Real Madrid game, or the Real Madrid Manchester United game, which happened tonight. Real Madrid 2-1. They've won the European Super Cup. They can add that to their list of endless amounts of trophies. I'm just looking around thinking how big their trophy cabinet is in perspective to my house. But United were at 60 and 7s, first 20, 25 minutes, couldn't get in the game. They deserved their role, didn't they?
Played United off the park at times. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, the Gulf of class at times, where Real Madrid just kept the ball for like 5 minutes, just making United run all over the pitch. Isco again, I mean, he was a standout player in the Champions League final.
Yep.
Again tonight, United could just not cope with Isco tonight. They deserved it, Real Madrid. They were the better team. United had gilt-edged chances, though. Lukaku and Pogba missed two sitters tonight. Rashford 1-1 with a goalkeeper. It could, you know, United take their chances. You know, it's like deja vu from last season. They take their chances as a different ball game. But overall, Real Madrid deserved it.
Pat, were you disappointed with United tonight?
To be honest, I never over worry about them. I know we talk about it with all these different competitions, but generally, 6 months later, you don't know who won that competition. Mm. It's a glorified friendly. I feel exactly the same way about the Community Shield. You know, as a player, it's nice to win it, but see, if you don't, you shrug your shoulders and get on. What counts is what happens now. So I wouldn't over worry about it. In fact, I'll be brutally honest with you. Hibs won 5-0 tonight. I was more interested than that. That was a real game.
Brilliant.
That's 2 out of 2 for Hibs then. They won at the weekend, they know, so Pat's happy then.
Exactly, well spotted.
There you go.
Rod, any cause for concern? Because the way I see it, mate, is I agree with Pat in the sense of being a glorified friendly, but I think that it's more of a learning curve for a lot of these United players who obviously haven't played the likes of Real Madrid before. I mean, let's be honest, Lukaku, even though he's played in the World Cup, has he ever faced Sergio Ramos in a cup competition or a club game? I don't know. I think this is a big learning curve for the likes of Rashford, for Mkhitaryan and whatnot. What do you reckon?
Yeah, Like I said, it's pre-season game. You don't look too much into it. All it is about getting minutes and getting ready for Saturday. So it's just a glorified thing, like you said. But, you know, experience for the players that have played against, to play against that type of quality and know what they're up against if they do up against them in the Champions League next year. Because it's, you know, it'll be a tough test because that Isco, Modric and Cruz and the rest of them players. So it's a tough game to, I don't know what to say, it's a learning curve for him, and you know it's a pre-season game, so you don't look too much into it.
And they're the European champions, of course, so they've got lots of people. I think the one thing that
and they had a certain Ronaldo on the bench, so
yeah. I think the one thing that concerns me as a United fan is that United just seemed a bit, what I was saying before, they look scared. They look scared of Real Madrid. I think it's a fear factor that Madrid have. Obviously, maybe it's the shirt or the prestige or the players that they've got on the pitch. But United just seemed a bit scared of the first half. But second half, they came out and Matic had a fantastic game. Fellaini had a good game when he came on. But yeah, anyway, let's move on. This isn't a Man United show. Right, on a final note, gents, what are your predictions for top four and bottom three? Rodri.
Ooh, top four, like I say, it's between the two Manchester clubs. So if I'd have gone to Manchester, but United, City, Tottenham, and I'll go with Liverpool. I think Chelsea will struggle if they don't get some more players in. Because they've lost a hell of a lot of players. And if they don't replace Diego Costa, Morata will take time. He's not played in the league before. So he will take time. And Hazard, he needs to come back very quickly. Arsenal will be the same old. So I'm counting them out straight away. So it's between, Liverpool.
You're going to get hate mail from the Arsenal fans, you know.
Me, I'll go with... bottom three, I'll go Huddersfield. Who did I have? Huddersfield.
Brighton.
Pardon? No, I like Chris Hughton. I think Chris Hughton may stay up. Oh, I hope he stays up. It'd be tough for him. But I'll go with Newcastle, Huddersfield and Swansea.
Wow, Swansea. Okay. Pat, top four, bottom three?
Right, top four. We are not very far apart. City to win it. United second. Spurs and Chelsea, don't know which way around, depending on what Chelsea add. I think they will add enough. Liverpool just a little bit short. Arsenal as well. Everton pushing, of course. But no, City, United, Chelsea, then Spurs. I'll go for that. Going down. I agree. This is Swansea's year. They've done so well to hold on for so long, but I think this is the year. And if they lose Sigurdsson, all bets are off. They'll probably finish last. And on top of that, Huddersfield, I think they haven't been able to do enough business of enough quality, so Huddersfield straight back down again. Another one that might surprise you, Watford. I think it's a team that, you know, you can make those changes and the adaptations they've made for quite a few years and they've got away with it. One year it'll come home to roost. I think it's this year.
Absolutely. You? You're right on the spot here.
Yeah, you are. I actually think City will win it this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to say United, but I'm going to go City, United, Arsenal, Chelsea.
You've got Arsenal in the top four. Wow, any reason?
No. I think I just think the fact that they've missed out on Champions League football. Well, maybe yesterday. I'll give a reason, but I think they'll bounce back and be in them. I think Chelsea might struggle this season. The fact that Costa's going to be a big loss. Mm-hmm. Liverpool, I don't think they've got enough for some reason. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know, I hope I'm right, especially in Liverpool's case. But if Arsenal don't do well in the Europa League and come out, they'll concentrate on the league. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be a factor as well. Well, I'm going to put them third. As for the teams to go down, I'm going to go Brighton, Huddersfield and Burnley. I think Burnley might go down this
year. Yeah, it's a good shout. That's a good shout because they've lost Michael Keane. But they've got some reinforcements.
Yeah, there. Jonathan Walters is a good signing there. But I don't know. I just think, they had a good season last year and maybe second time round they might find it a bit difficult. But I'm going to agree with Pat as well with Watford. I think they could go down this year as well. But I'm gonna stick with my three.
Okay.
There you go. I didn't sound convincing. I'm glad.
I'm just surprised that you said Arsenal. Usually you'd be. Yeah, to be honest, I think...
I'm going against Rodri today.
That's right. To be honest, I think Arsenal will be more focused on the Europa League this season, to be fair. I think they're going to want to go for it. It'll be Wenger's first European trophy as Arsenal manager after two losses in finals. My top four, I'm going to go United, City, Chelsea and Spurs. They're my top four in that order. Bottom three, I'm going to go for the two of the three promoted teams, Huddersfield and Brighton. I'm going to say agree with Pat, Watford. I don't think they've recruited well enough this summer. I think they're going to rely too much on Troy Deeney. And we saw a couple of seasons ago with Odin Ighalo. If Ighalo and Deeney didn't score, they didn't have goals anywhere. I don't think Kapu is going to be a goal-scoring midfielder like he was last season. I can't see Cleverley doing too much.
Success hasn't done well. He hasn't been a friend.
He hasn't been a success.
The only thing I say about Watford, Marcus Silva's got a very good home record. And I don't know if that means anything at a new club, but if his home record is good at previous clubs has been, they might stay up just because
of that. Hull got relegated last season.
Yeah, but he wasn't there for the full season. Well, he only lost, two home games since he was there? So,
as I said, I don't think they've strengthened adequately either. And I fear for them, to be fair, because they've got a good fan base. But at the same time, I just don't think they've recruited properly in the past couple of seasons. Last season they changed their manager. I don't even know why they got rid of Kike Sanchez Flores. They brought in Matari. He came in with this 3-4-3 mentality, and only Conte could really put it off, which he did. I think they're feeling the after effects of it. Again, recruitment is important. I don't think Cathcart is going to keep them up. I don't think Olivas is going to keep them up. I'm sorry about the fans, but I think you're doomed. I'm probably going to be wrong because I was wrong about Hull last season. And on that note, that's it for tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Mr. Pat Nevin, for appearing. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your knowledge, and I hope we can have you back on the show sometime soon.
I'm definitely coming on. It's been great fun.
Thank you very much. Are you on Twitter, Mr. Nevin?
Yeah, I religiously check my Twitter account every 6 months.
Okay. They can catch you on Twitter every 6 months.
6 months.
I do put things up on Twitter where I'm doing technical analytical things for various companies. I put their links up there. And also when I'm DJing. And I'll be DJing in a couple of weeks' time in London. So, if you want to come along and hear some sounds,
whereabouts?
I'm not DJing, so I'll put that up in my Twitter feed.
Whereabouts will you be spinning those decks?
Shoreditch.
Shoreditch, yeah. Excellent. And what kind of genre are we listening to here?
It's pretty white, but if anyone remembers this, a danceable version of John Peel's sort of music. Pretty way out there, but still pretty danceable.
So there's no drum and bass then?
People are much better than me at drumming. I don't play that. I don't like it that people are better than me at that.
Well, I'll tell you what, after the show, we'll get the details. I'm up for going down there to take a look at you. That'll be great stuff. Brilliant. Rodri, thank you for coming on again, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. What's frozen? Well, I'm going to say bye from Rod. He's actually frozen. I'm watching the feed live and he's actually frozen. I'm not actually going to edit this when it comes to the podcast version because it just ruins the authenticity of a live show. Mate, thank you for coming back. It's been great talking to you again. It's been a while. And it's going to be a long season, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready. Born ready, my friend.
I'm always ready.
Well, from Rodri Giggs, who unfortunately isn't here, he's on Twitter at Rod James Giggs. We're on Twitter at Shooting Defence. We have a Facebook group page. Follow our friends, My Sportswear at My Sportswear One, Youth Energy. These guys, fantastic energy drinks. We have a discount code SHOOT10. Go on their website, Youth Energy. And also FNX Network and the guys at Sofa Sports News who are doing a fantastic job, Harry and the boys. You're on Twitter, aren't you, young man? What is your
Yannick is J.
Excellent. If you know how to spell it, you'll find him. So from us and Rodri, who's still frozen down here on this little screen about here, there he is. Goodbye.